Inside Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. For 3 weeks, we accompany team manager Ralf Denk and the biggest and most successful German cycling team through the Tour de France. Do you have questions for Ralf Denk? Send them to tobias.ruf@ovbmedia.de. And now enjoy the new episode.
Tadej Pogačar has won the third stage of the Tour de France and takes the yellow jersey. Florian Lipovic and Remco Evenepoel finish in 7th and 8th place, losing only a few seconds to Pogačar. Wildfires are causing unrest and changes. We have a lot to discuss, and we will do that as every day with the team manager of Red Bull, Bora Hansgrohe. Hello to Ralf Denk.
Hello and greetings to Rosenheim.
Yes, Ralf, before we start, where are we reaching you today? Where are you exactly? The day was a bit strange, the way things went.
Yes, indeed, because there were very few to no spectators at all on the final kilometers. Very, very unusual for the Tour de France. I am at the foot of the final climb. The team buses are parked here. The riders are coming down here with their bikes. And exactly, we have now welcomed the first riders. We have already spoken with Remco, with Florian, and now we are preparing for the long transfer that is over 2.5 hours today to the team hotel in Carcassonne, and that will be a long day today.
It's going to be a long day. So Ralf is out somewhere in the middle of nowhere. If the connection isn't ideal today, please forgive us. Before we get to your team, let's talk about Pogačar for a moment. On a stage profile like this, with a race development like this, and with a Pogačar like this, he's basically unbeatable, right?
Very tough. Very tough. And you could tell during the stage how seriously the team was taking it today. And it was a very hard race. It was very, very hot. I mean, we had outside temperatures of 40 degrees in the team bus. It was incredibly hot. We handed out so many drinks, handed out ice during the stage, and it was always really disgustingly fast. It was actually on paper a stage where you could say, well, maybe it's a chance for the breakaway group, for the riders who probably already have quite a deficit in the overall standings after the first two stages. They could try for the stage win today. But the boss, Tadej Pogačar, really wanted to win. He put his team to work. The team was very strong. They kept the breakaway to a maximum of 2.5 minutes. And in the end, they closed the gap. And then there was a sprint of the favorites. And Tadej Pogačar was the best, 4 seconds ahead of Florian and Remco.
Exactly. Now let's move on to Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. For me, alongside Pogačar, the winner of the day is Florian Lipovic. This is still not his terrain. He says himself he needs a bit of time to get into a tour like this, and he finishes in 7th place, excluding the time bonuses. As you said, it is 4 seconds. That could have gone differently too. So, as I said, one of my big winners is Florian. How about you?
Yes, I always have to remember the first days last year. And he was almost in tears last year because things weren't going well and because it was difficult and the first days in northern France and it was anything but easy for him. And this year he is managing the first days with flying colors. And I spoke with him briefly beforehand. He felt really good now, also felt good on the final climb. And that makes us, me and him, of course, very optimistic. So the mood there is really good.
Tactically, it actually went well from your perspective. You were well positioned on the final climb. The chase work you mentioned was done first by Visma, then by UAE. So is there anything you can reproach yourselves for today?
No, Jai Hindley also deserves special praise. He positioned both Florian and Remco in world-class fashion on the final climb. He was a very, very valuable helper today, which I just told him personally. The only thing where you'd say, okay, he wasn't quite as punchy as we've seen before is Remco. But also here in conversation with him a bit, he hasn't raced in a very long time after all. And exactly this type of strain, as was required in the finale today, you can only simulate in training with great difficulty. And that is why he perhaps only finished eighth today and was not on par with Pogacar, which is not really a big deal, though. And he felt super good throughout the day, despite the heat. And we are now looking ahead. Quite relaxed, but still focused.
Mm-hmm. I received a listener question from Marcus Riedel very early on. He was a bit confused as to why Tim van Dijk had to drop off so early. What were the reasons for that?
I cannot give any reasons yet, because Tim, like many others in the penultimate group, was at times 30 minutes behind, and he has not reached the finish line yet. I have not been able to speak with him to find out what the real cause was.
Okay, maybe we can talk about that again tomorrow. We are actually speaking right after the stage finish. How is Van Gils doing after his crash yesterday? You had told us about that, after all.
As expected, good. Although if you look at his hand, the entire callus on the palm is really missing. It looks gruesome, but primarily he is doing well. Only the whole cooling with water, that is of course also stinging in the wounds. So he suffered today, but it was within limits, he says.
Let's talk about these wildfires, which caused some changes today. About 40 kilometers from the finish, spectators were asked not to go there. Of course, some were there anyway. People live there too, and you cannot just lock them inside their homes. No publicity caravan. The teams also had to significantly reduce their convoys. How exactly were you affected?
Well, apart from the fact that there were few to no spectators along the route, we didn't notice much. I personally didn't see any forest fire either. I suspect that these are precautionary measures from the state side, and the state side always overrules the organizers. So even if the organizers want spectators here, if the state side says no, then it is no. And but it is not like we are racing our bikes next to a forest fire, but that is, in my opinion, more of a precaution. Although I have also heard from friends who live in the south of France, because it does burn from time to time. But here at the Tour de France, I have not seen anything.
Mm-hmm. But team vehicles, were those reduced, or what kind of impact did that have?
No, you cannot really reduce that, because every vehicle has its purpose and also its task in the race. And the caravan was stopped earlier. Well, you do not need the promotional caravan to run a bike race, but you cannot stop the team buses or the supply vehicles or the team cars, because otherwise the whole machinery no longer works.
Okay, let's see. We'll keep an eye on it. It could still affect the next few days, but we are connected with you, Dali. So, we are keeping an eye on everything. Ralph, let's go into some background information I brought along today. I want to talk to you about the topic of team meetings. Please take us through it. When and where does the team meeting take place before a stage that, let's say, starts at 1 o'clock? When does it start? Where does it all happen?
Yes. So, if you take the starting point right now, today, Monday, 5:30 in the afternoon, we are now taking the bus to the team hotel. The racers are sitting in there, but the sports management is also sitting in there. I, when I am on site, also sit on the bus. But here the riders are left in peace for now. First, they need to cool down after the race, and there are always emotions involved. But we talk about other important things now. It's usually about women or cars with the riders, but we don't talk about cycling on the way home. And once we have arrived at the hotel, in the team's massage rooms, there is a round by the sports management where individual talks are held with the riders first, where an assessment is made. How was today? How did you feel? What do you think are the possibilities for the next day? And And that's a kind of assessment that the sports management does without setting a direction at first, but simply gathering information. And once you have that information, there's usually a team meeting with the sports directors or sports management before dinner. And that's where it's actually decided what the plan is for the next day.
Sorry to jump in. Is it a mix of a debrief and a preview, or is it really just the preview?
No, it is. It is first of all a debrief. So first of all, gathering the information from the riders, then discussing in the group what we do with that information. Then, of course, the sports directors contribute their know-how, their ideas on racing and what is possible. And ultimately, we put it all together. There are three sports directors on site, but there is also a head sports director. That means we never have a stalemate. We always have a decision. And this decision is first made by the sports directors overnight. That means we are no longer talking to the riders today about what we are doing tomorrow. Instead, tomorrow before the race on the bus, 2 hours before the start, there is a meeting. What are we doing today? What is our plan today? How will it be implemented? And what are the tasks for each athlete? That is how it is conveyed. But if you trace it back from the analysis of the stage, what is possible, the riders, the captains above all, are always involved. So it is not a dictatorial decision, but actually a team decision. And only when things get very difficult, then the head sports director has the final say. But to date, since I have been doing this, we have always found good compromises and usually had a good instinct as well.
Can things get heated in a meeting like that, or is it kept on a calm, professional level?
No, sir. That is a factual level. That is also my leadership style as far as I am involved, and that is also broken down. We do not need emotional meetings here at the Tour de France, where the stress level for everyone involved is in the deep red anyway. That can definitely be solved in a factual manner. Everyone is a professional and everyone knows how to approach it.
Okay, thank you for the insights behind the scenes. So let's look ahead. Let's look at tomorrow, Tuesday. From Carcassonne, we head to Foix. 181 kilometers will be raced. 4 climbs in total, 1 category 4, 1 category 3 and 2 category 2. It's downhill towards the end. The stage starts at 1:10. Arrival is expected around 5:25. It smells like a breakaway to me.
What do you think?
Yes, quite possible, because we have now had 3 days where the best riders and the best teams who are the Tour de France region have shown themselves at the front and also taken the stage wins. And that is why I believe we are also in a breakaway group. And I believe that both elite teams so far, Visma-Visma-Lease bike or Team UAE Emirates, will not push with all their might tomorrow, but I see a great chance for the winner to come from a breakaway group, because they are already keeping one eye on the sixth stage, which will likely lead over the prestigious Tourmalet.
Options for you, protecting captains, maybe sensing a chance if it arises. How? What are the ideas?
Yes, we have good riders. Jai Hindley is in good form, as we saw today on the final climb. Also, Maxim van Gils will recover from his crash yesterday. But as I said, we will just see what the current situation is and what every rider has to report about the day. Then we will have to come up with a plan together.
You just explained it to us in detail. You are all aware of how the whole thing works, and we will see what happens tomorrow. Ralph, we too will not hear from each other tomorrow, but you will still be in our podcast, of course. My colleague, Corbinian Sauter, will take over for the next 3 days. We will talk again on Friday. You will hear Ralph Denk and Corbinian Sauter, my colleague, again tomorrow at the usual time. I say thank you, wish you a pleasant evening, and of course a safe transfer first, and then good luck tomorrow. Many thanks to Ralph Denk.
My pleasure, and best regards back to Rosenheim.
That was the latest edition of Inside Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe, the podcast from OVB Online on the Tour de France. You can find the podcast on all major podcatchers and on the websites of OVB Media and iPen Media. Thanks for listening and see you in the next episode.